I'd hope so. There we go. Archbishop, welcome. Our continued prayers for you and your continued recovery. It is with great joy that I present to you this, the 2020 class of confirmation candidates. Each of these individuals has demonstrated a commitment to be witnesses to and advocates for our common faith. Throughout the past year, they have engaged in community service, several formational activities, and other opportunities, including a retreat, which has enriched their spirituality. They are especially mindful of the nature of the sacrament, which they are to receive, and embrace the opportunity to be confirmed in our church. Therefore, Archbishop, as the pastor of the Church of the Ascension, I enthusiastically recommend to you that each receive the sacrament of confirmation.
Father Adam, thank you. Thank you so very much. And what a pleasure it is to confer the sacrament of confirmation on all of you right after I finish this little sermon. I want to also say a word of thanks. I know you'd be the first to thank those who are catechists. And perhaps at the end of Mass, you'll do that yourself. But I wanted to thank those who have served as catechists. And you know, the word catechist, like the word catechism, means to teach. And so the teachers in Catholic school or in the religious education program, those of you who are here, I'd ask you to stand so that we might see you and thank you, the catechists who have assisted. This would, I hope you didn't all take the day off. There you go, very good. Well, I got to tell you a special thanks for your prayers. Many of you know that I've been going through the process of cancer treatment. I discovered it, I guess, with the help of doctors in early June, so I've been dealing with it between immunotherapy and chemotherapy and surgery. If I do any more, I'm going to myself become a doctor, I think, with all this training that I'm getting. But I do want you to know how much I appreciate it, your prayers and your support. You know, in November, when they did take things out of me, they did declare me to be cancer-free. And that's a gift that I never want to take for granted. So thank you for those prayers. I'll continue to get what's called immunotherapy once every 3 weeks. And that's more precautionary. And every once in a while, they'll just take a CT scan, make sure that everything's fine. But I'm really coming back. I guess I'm about 83% back, and last week I was 82%. So it's moving in the right direction. One of the reasons I wanted to tell you, those of you getting confirmed, is in early November, I was in the hospital for 8 days, and a young lady came in, a nurse. She was about 21, 22 years old, and she said, "Archbishop, I'm from Louisville." She said, my parents told me you were here, and would it be all right if I visited you?" And I said, "Would it be all right? I've never been laid up like this. I never was sick, so I really appreciate now what people go through when they have to go through a long convalescence." So she came in and she said, "You know, you confirmed me in 2010, 10 years ago. So those of you getting confirmed today, if 10 years from now you have a chance to visit some old bishop or whoever in the hospital, please do it. Understand how important your presence is." You might think, "Well, what do I have to offer?" Well, your presence is so powerful, especially when someone's sick. So I just thank you for it. I thank Erin, who, as I said, was 10 years ago that I confirmed her. And she came, by the way, I was there eight days. She came 3 different times to visit and say hello. So I must have looked terrible, you know, with that process. So thank you all very much. Special thanks to those of you who are either the parents or the grandparents of the young people being confirmed. If you're either a parent or grandparent of someone being confirmed today, just raise your hand so we see where y'all are. Well, a special word of thanks to you. This is so important in the life of the church. I see someone even gave the the Louisville sign. I guess reminding me that not only did Kentucky win, but Louisville won yesterday, so we have no reason to be sad today, right? You know, and this is an occasion, you who are parents, maybe to think back to when the young person, eighth grade, who's your son or daughter, is getting confirmed. Think back to their day of birth, their baptism, their first day in school, their reception of the sacrament of reconciliation and First Holy Communion. These spiritual steps, you've been with them all along. And we're not perfect as families, we know that, but we certainly want to be faithful. So I just thank you for saying a prayer of gratitude for the vocation that is yours. It's so important in our life today. And I also want to thank those of you who are sponsors. Thank you for saying yes to being a sponsor. You know how valuable is your presence. Maybe you don't realize how valuable, because when I was a teenager, I didn't always show everything that was going on inside me. But there is a need to be supported, to be prayed for, and not to be forgotten. And sponsors, what a gift you have. What's today, the 9th of February? Yeah. So February 9, 2021. Those of you getting confirmed today, you get a letter, you open it up, and it says, oh, you think, my gosh, this is from my sponsor. And it says something like this. It's been exactly 1 year since you have been confirmed. I want you to know that I have not forgotten you or forgotten my role as your sponsor. I pray for you, and I will look for every opportunity to support you. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to do that? And sponsors, you put a $5 or a $10 bill in that thing, and they won't forget you, right? I told that at another place, and later, a very enterprising person who had just been confirmed said, Archbishop, you really should say a $20 bill. Here's just a few things that... A few of the letters that these young people have written to me. My sponsor is my uncle. He's also my godfather. He always puts everyone before himself, and he always makes me smile. I chose my aunt, my dad's sister-in-law. I could have picked many other people. Then I started to think about not only who I look up to, but always want to hear what I have to say. When I asked her over the phone to be my sponsor, she excitedly said yes, which had just confirmed that she is my best choice. I chose my grandpa. He goes to church with me every Sunday, and he prays every night. See, that's a beautiful thing. When somebody says, not only he goes to church with me, he goes to church with me every Sunday and prays every night. He has a necklace with a saint on it that he's been wearing most of his life. He's very dedicated to be a Catholic, and I hope to be like him when I'm older. You know, the diocese I came from back in Pennsylvania, there was a Monsignor Angelini, and during, I think it was the Second World War, he was already a priest, and he would give people who were going off to war a little miraculous medal. Well, 60 years later, people would come and visit him in his little parish that he was in. They'd take out their wallet, and guess what? They'd open it up and show the little medal that he gave them decades before. It's a beautiful thing. Talking about the person with the grandpa, and I hope to be like him when I'm older. I chose my grandmother. She's a good faith role model, and I can learn a lot from her. She always is helping someone or some cause. I can't remember last time I've been at her house that she wasn't knitting hats for newborn babies or blankets for children with cancer or having lunch with people who build homes for Habitat for Humanity. She's also trying to schedule for our whole family to build 10 beds for homeless children, and she's paying for all the materials. She always knows what to do and is just such a good person. Aren't these beautiful letters? Let's give these young people a little round of applause. So now those of you who are getting confirmed today, the readings of sacred scripture could not be better. You are the light of the world. You are the salt. And the first reading from the 58th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, remember this would be called Deutero-Isaiah. It was done at this part of Isaiah. The book toward the end is dealing with the people of Israel coming back from the Babylonian captivity, so about 500 years before Jesus was born. And this is a time when they were in almost great depression. They had lost everything. And all of a sudden now, there's new hope. They're returning home. And in fact, the readings of sacred scripture from Isaiah, you won't be surprised, are often seen as anticipating the birth of Jesus. And he basically says in Isaiah, when you give bread to someone who's hungry, it's very specific, and there's a long list of other things that could be done, but when you actually give bread to someone who is hungry, the light of God's glory shines through you. Now I think of two different people as examples and images for us today. One, you may never have heard of him, is Father James Keller, who was a Marian Old priest. He was born around 1904-05 in that area. He, in the classroom, got a visit from the Marian Olds, who were, their first mission was to go to China to spread the gospel. And he thought when he went and became a Marian Old priest that he would be going to China. Instead, he was asked to stay right in the United States and talk to other people about the missions. And he began in 1945 a little movement called the Christophers. Some of you might remember the Christophers. They would put out every month these little pamphlets that were foldouts of about four things on different topics. But his theme was better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Probably a great image for this age. It is so easy when things do not go our way to simply curse the darkness. Say, why did this happen to me? Or why does this person treat me that way? Why did God not give me this gift or this talent? Or why did he give me this cross? You know the litany of cursing the darkness, where you end up not taking responsibility but actually saying, somebody did this to me. It's one of the weakest ways to go through life because it's filled with a lack of hope. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Now the other image, I hope you all remember her. Do you remember Mother Teresa of Calcutta? I should say, who doesn't remember? Do you all remember her? How about those of you in eighth grade? Am I dating myself here? Do you remember Mother Teresa of Calcutta? In 1976, I was back in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I was already a priest. And she came to visit us at St. Thomas More Church. She was about this big. Oh, whoops, excuse me. She was about this tall. She spoke with a whisper. And we were all kind of leaning forward so we would hear everything she said. She told us about her vocation within a vocation. She had been a woman religious. She had become a sister and was teaching in India, in Calcutta, in fact. And then she discovered there were all these people who were desperately in need and were being ignored. There were people, she said, who would be born on the street, without a roof over their heads. They would live their whole life, often not very long of a life, without ever going into a house, and they would die on the street. And what she felt the call to do is to treat each person one at a time with human dignity. She was telling this story, and it was very gripping. And in about the middle of the church, a man stood up right at the time. I was wondering, what's he going to say? He said, Mother Teresa, I feel very inspired. I want to come back with you to Calcutta and serve along with your sisters. And I'll never forget what she said that day. She said, sir, thank you. But the person that God wants you to serve is already at your doorstep. Go home and serve the person who's already in your life. I thought, wow. Now, Mother Teresa, somebody asked her, don't you get self-conscious? You're a little sister about this big, and you're talking to crowds of 20, 30, 40,000, 100,000 people? She said, no, because I'm not self-conscious. I'm God-conscious. The prophet Isaiah, you heard this probably in the 58th chapter, that first reading, said something toward the end, said, and the glory of God will be your rear guard. You know, it's an image of military things where you're going forward, pressing forward, and remember the expression that someone has your back? Have you heard that expression? Somebody has your back. Well, that's what this is. The rear guard was literally someone who was making sure that someone, an enemy, did not come and take you by surprise. The glory of God for Mother Teresa was her rear guard. She didn't get up every morning worrying about who was going to take care of her. And that freed her to focus on the person in front of her. She was single-minded. In other words, she didn't have double intentions. The philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, he died in 1855. He wrote a book. One of the books he wrote was called Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. It's a long title. Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. And basically what he was saying was, be careful of having more than one intention or motive. Sometimes people do very good things, but they end up doing it so that they will get praised, or that they will be seen as someone important. They're doing it, to begin with, to serve the person in need, but then there is a second motive creeps in. Mother Teresa, I think, had that capacity to take seriously the gospel passage of to do good and let your light shine so that others will see the light and give glory to God in heaven, not give glory back to us. So I don't know what God's calling each of you who are getting confirmed to do. It's not just for the future, it's today. It's the way you treat your family members. It's the way you treat your classmates. It's the experiences you have with others. It will lead you to see what God's plan or vocation is for you. But it really starts today, not sometime in the future. And we pray that God will clear your mind and heart, that you'll be single-minded, have purity of heart in serving the needs of others and not worrying about yourself. If you do that, you will do the three things that are going to be so important for your confirmation. You'll live a life of virtue. Someone said that the best way to look at a person with deep character is to see if they do the right thing when they think no one's watching. If you think that no one's looking at you and you still do the right thing, then you're a person with a deep character. So to be a person of virtue, to be a person who gathers friends around you who will support you and you will support them. That's really what the church is. It's the body of Christ through each other supporting one another. And you will uncover with God's help his wonderful plan for you for the rest of your life. What a great sacrament of confirmation you're receiving today. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the glory of God and the power of God that will shine through your lives. I invite you now to get ready for the sacrament of confirmation. Those of you getting confirmed, by standing right at your place to renew your baptismal promises. Not the sponsors, just those getting confirmed. So I invite you now to renew your baptismal promises by answering, "I do," with a clear voice to each of these questions. Do you renounce Satan and all his works and empty promises? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who today through the sacrament of confirmation is given to you in a special way, just as he was given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost? Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. We're proud to profess it. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now I speak to those of you who are seated. Dearly beloved, let us pray to God the Almighty Father for these, his adopted sons and daughters, already born again to eternal life in baptism, that he will graciously pour out the Holy Spirit upon them to confirm them with his abundant gifts, and through his anointing, conform them more fully to Christ, the Son of God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought these your servants to new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, freeing them from sin, send upon them, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety. Fill them with the spirit of fear of the Lord through Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite now those of you to be confirmed with your sponsors. Please come forward. And be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Congratulations. Rachel, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you. Congratulations. Billy, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Congratulations. Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Congratulations. Joseph, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And peace be with you. Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit, from heaven shine forth.
Read, be sealed with the
with your glorious light. Veni Sancte Spiritus.
Be be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you.
Poor, come, generous Spirit. Come, light of our hearts. Veni, Sancte Spiritus.
And be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Will be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit.